World. I'm John Batchelor. Russ Adam. Russ Adam State Nuclear Energy Corporation, established in 2007. This is the Russian state corporation headquartered in Moscow for nuclear energy, including a nuclear icebreaker, and it makes money. I welcome Henry Sokolsky, the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, observing most recently that Rosatom is not on, to my knowledge, the sanctions list that is routine now to punish and to inhibit Russia from its aggression in Ukraine. Other forms of energy, crude oil, refined oil, natural gas, all are on sanctions list, and so are the parties related to them. But as of right now, the puzzle about Rosatom. Henry, a very good evening to you. Rosatom makes money worldwide. What is the thinking in the NATO forces, in the United Nations, in the U.S., that Rosatom is not part of the Russian war machine? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I think it's a willful effort not to think and recognize what you'll find if you go to Rosatom's own webpage or even look it up on Wikipedia, and that they actually have another their mission you did not mention. They are responsible for the development and production of nuclear munitions for the Russian military. That little additional point never gets mentioned in all of the analytic efforts, both official and unofficial, in discussing the merits of sanctioning or not sanctioning Rosatom. It's a disturbing point that would suggest the absurdity of not bearing down on this entity. The reason we don't like bearing down on it is there is a dependency in Europe, particularly in Bulgaria and Hungary, NATO members, and a business partner in the French firm EDF with Rosatom, that makes it very difficult to get consensus to do anything against Rosatom. And in the U.S., we have nuclear electric utilities that use 14% of their enriched product coming from Rosatom. And so in Washington, lobbyists make very clear that folks that normally write checks might not write checks if folks go too far in sanctioning Russia, particularly if it goes into sanctioning Rosatom. So there you have it.
The puzzle, though, extends right to the war-making. Let's get to something you and I have spoken of for months. Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, the largest nuclear power plant complex, I believe, in all of Europe, is now in sad repair, supervised by Rosatom, according to all the reports that we have from the combat zone, supervised by Rosatom, fully aware of the fact that the Ukrainian team that were operating the plant have been abused, tortured, kidnapped, abducted, and that Rosatom is participating in the refusal of honest monitoring or safety zone as recommended by the IAEA. That alone would earn you approbation if you were an oil company, and nothing is done. This is another detail that's left out. It's an active criminal enterprise.
Well, it's a little worse than that, in my view. We still, as members of the International Atomic Energy Agency, have done very little to even threaten the full membership features of Russian participation in that agency. They use that agency to sell their goods by going to foreign countries under IAEA authority to market their reactors. And the United States and other allied countries have done nothing to even begin to threaten Russia with a suspension of their privileges to do that kind of activity. Instead, they are considered a member in good standing for all intents and purposes. And that's a little odd to me as well, particularly in light of Mr. Grossi's correct assessment of Rosatom's role in taking over and actually, you know, effectively stealing the plan. Now, they've set up a dummy organization that doesn't have the word Rosatom, but it is in fact a subsidiary effectively of Rosatom that now, quote unquote, owns Zaporizhia. That's theft. And I don't think anybody should be endorsing that at all.
Rosatom has business with China. How so, Henry?
Well, they are effectively fueling China's fast breeder reactor program, which the Pentagon rightly has identified as a potential producer of super weapons grade plutonium for China's arsenal. And the Rosatom entity has been collaborating with the Chinese and have been supplying it with the initial fuel loading of, for these reactors, and just signed an agreement to help build a factory to produce more fuel in China so that China doesn't need to rely on Russian imports.
You report that some European states, aware of these details, have cut off their conversation with Rosatom. You mentioned Germany and Finland. Those are not minor players. Germany, because it's the banker and manufacturing center of the European Union, and Finland, because it is the new member of NATO, offering a frontier to Russia that didn't exist before for a possible conflict. If they've cut off, what about the other countries? Have they commented, especially France, the large nuclear-powered electricity grid of France?
Well, France has a firm called EDF that does most of their nuclear work, and it has an old contract to produce equipment for Rosatom, which is tied to facilities that are sited in Germany. And the Germans are now telling the French, you might not be able to use those facilities to supply process control equipment and other forms of high tech to make Rosatom's reactors work, because we don't want to support Rosatom. So there's a bit of a tussle going on there. And I believe the Baltic states, I call them the frontline states, including Finland, which just canceled a major reactor deal with Rosatom, are still pushing to sanction Rosatom. And, you know, it's a big debate. And I think the United States has taken a kind of know-nothing approach to this debate and has not led by example, insofar as we don't say boo about sanctioning Rosatom here.
Members of the House of Representatives, Foreign Affairs Committee, Intelligence Committee, Armed Services Committee have commented, however, every dollar and euro that Rosatom brings in directly finances the death and destruction we see in Ukraine, China's nuclear weapons expansion, and is a direct threat to the American way of life. That's the House of Representatives. I understand that's one party. What about the other party in the House and the Senate? What about the White House? Are they commenting on Rosatom's money-making?
In fairness to the White House, they have sanctioned individuals in Rosatom, but that's a light touch, if you will. I think they, the administration, are taking a rather soft approach to this by saying, well, ultimately, the way to deal with Rosatom is to outcompete them. And so over the next decade, we need to build products that will outsell Russian offerings. And the rejoinder to that is, well, that's quite a long time. So I think they're susceptible to the arguments because they know it. I think what most people technically don't appreciate is there are alternatives to continuing to buy enriched uranium for our nuclear power plants. We can buy more uranium from places like Canada, who would gladly sell it, and run it through existing enrichment plants here in the United States and actually in Western Europe to get all the enriched product we need to substitute for the stuff we're now contracting with Russia. We haven't taken that step, but we could if we wanted to.
Henry, is there an international group that seem themselves to be superior to sovereignty, sort of like there is in man's space, you know, working together with people on Earth, they're your adversaries, but in space, we're all brotherhood. Does that exist in the atomic energy business?
You know, I hadn't thought of it that way until you mentioned it, but there is a kind of, I call it Atoms for Peace gestalt or thought set that says that if you use nuclear energy for non-military purposes, it blocks out or crowds out all the bad possible uses. Now, that I think is simply naive when you take a look at some countries and how they've used the civil sector to make bombs. But the fact of the matter is, it is a very strong opinion. And you see it in places actually like Vienna at the International Atomic Energy Agency. So it produces cognitive dissonance with what else is going on.
Yes. Henry Sokolsky of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.